Well, good morning, Tony. It's good to be here.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And you?
Yeah. Just dusting myself down, I think, a little bit, but I'm fine. Music societies, now, it's not something that sort of you come across every single day unless you are a musician or you have a specific interest in a certain type of music. Why music society for you?
Well, I think I'm interested in music, basically, mm-hmm. And have been since I was at school. Mm-hmm. And I suppose going back to those school days, and I was about 12 or 13, music hadn't really cut through to me. But one day a music teacher put on a piece by Bach, of all people, mm-hmm. a choral work, and it started with trumpets. And I never forget it. But it, you know how something suddenly gets to you.
What was the piece, just out of curiosity?
It was the Mass in B minor, which sounds pretty formidable.
It's quite long.
It's a huge piece.
Yeah.
And this was the Gloria, which is very glorious and joyful.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what was coming. He didn't say anything. He just put it on.
Yeah.
So it was like a blind tasting. And something happened. You know, I thought, oh, this is fantastic. And it went from there, and then I started listening to other music that he would put on, like Beethoven and Brahms and other people.
Yeah.
So that's how it happened. It was just one of those, well, these things happen in life, a chance discovery.
They do. You want a rock and roll kid then?
Well, not particularly. I mean, I do like pop music very much.
Mm.
It's just different. And I think the difference is pop music is great fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew someone who ran a cover band, actually, in Australia, and he was explaining that the intricacies of pop music, the inventiveness,
and the sheer
skill, and it's very easy to miss them because, of course, it's popular in the background and it's played like that.
Mm. That's the thing I was trying to get to when we were talking about a music society. You don't hear too much about them. You talked about classical music and the classics and stuff.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm a great fan of the 3-minute pop song. I think it's an absolute work of art, as you've said, that some of these things are works of art. It's a very clever thing to be able to do. But I'm also a very big fan of orchestral stuff as well, be it classical or any other type. So there's lots and lots of music to go at. And, I'm very pleased to say you guys are highlighting classical in a very big way, aren't you?
Well, we're trying to. I mean, we're putting on what we technically call chamber concerts, which will be a couple of people, 3 people, 4 people, 5 people. They're not big orchestras for obvious reasons. But it's predominantly classical music in the sense we would think about it.
You know, yeah.
Bach, Beethoven, Brahms, Chopin, maybe a bit of Elgar and so on. But we do mix it. I mean, last year we had a jazz concert. And we've had the National Youth Jazz Orchestra in the past and some really very distinguished jazz musicians.
Yeah.
So we do that, and it's usually very successful. So it's not straight classical, if I put it that way.
Yeah.
We do vary it a bit. But most of it is straight classical. And what we try to do is get world-class people. I mean, if you go up to London, you know, places like the Festival Hall in the South Bank or the Wigmore Hall, you will hear really outstanding musicians like our president, Imogen Cooper, who performs there quite often. But we're going back to the very start, 80 years ago nearly, a group of people in Oxford who liked music were really unhappy with what they could hear locally. So they decided to create a group, a society in the end, which would bring these kind of top flight people to Oxford to perform.
Yeah.
And they did a good job of it because they were well connected in the musical world. In fact, there were quite a few very famous musicians lived around here. And it went from there and it built up. And the crucial bit, we're very important, we don't compromise on quality.
No.
You know, we want the very best people. And that's how we do our programs. We might start with the kind of music, jazz it might be, could be a piano recital, and then we look for really good people. And what we mean by that is somebody who could be a star already.
Yeah.
And there's some very big names out there. Or a rising star, like we had a few weeks ago, Jennifer Canna Mason, one of that incredible Canna Mason family.
Yeah.
Now, she's only 23, But she gave a prompt. She gave a debut concert at the Proms at the age of 19. She's toured America and Europe and Australia, made CDs. So we got her to play because, I mean, she's quite exceptional.
Yeah.
And she was a great hit. We had nearly 200 people there and a tremendous reception.
Mm.
So those are the kind of people, either really big names or rising stars or people who haven't even been heard of yet, but are going to be stars because they're so good.
Yeah.
And we had somebody who I'd never heard of when I heard him, a man called Pavel Kolesnikov, but everybody thought he was brilliant when he played for us. Well, last Wednesday night, I heard him in the Festival Hall. So 5 years after you hear him in Oxford, he pops up in the big places.
Yeah, amazing, absolutely amazing with some of the things. And you say... I'm guessing, I mean, when you said 80 years ago that, you know, people weren't happy with the music that was available for them to listen to, that situation hasn't changed much, has it, really? There are some really quality musicians out there all doing these kinds of events, and they also then turn off to do some of the bigger events, as you've just mentioned, and one of your presidents... Incidentally, as far as I can see, was none other than Sir Adrian Bolt.
Yes.
Well, I mean, he's wow.
These are really world figures.
Yeah, they are.
But yes, I mean, it is extraordinary. I would say in a way that the standards of classical music performance have been rising. They've always been great performers. But I would think perhaps more consistently, there are more and more, you know, young players particularly who are really quite exceptional. And that's a very good thing.
Do you think it's going to do full circle at some point? Because, as I said to you earlier, I asked you the question of you're a rock and roll kid. There was a point to that rock and roll was the thing that made the day. But for me, the real skill and the real quality players are in your field of music and not in the rock and roll field. Although the people in rock and roll can do their stuff, it's of a different order, isn't it?
I think it is. I mean, Tony, if you look at a famous pianist, you look at Imogen Cooper playing, for example, or Jennifer Canemason, and look at the keyboard and watch their fingers.
Mm.
Now, it's difficult to believe a human being could play as many notes as quickly as they do without making mistakes. So
yeah.
I know that's very basic. It's a skill. But there's a technical accomplishment or perfection there, which is quite rare, but I think there's more of it about right now.
Yeah.
And it's very encouraging. So I would never denigrate the skill of pop music. I mean, I think Bob Dylan was a genius, no question, by any standards.
If you didn't know, Elton John's classically trained pianist, so you're talking about moving your fingers quickly. There are some who can do it, but the vast majority can't. But the fact is that they're making music, which in itself is a good thing. But is there a resurgence amongst young people in towards classical music now? Because there seems to be, a lack of... Well, composition, I suppose, really is the way to put it, in the more popular field.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, we actually offer free tickets for young people under 26, and people do take us up on that.
Mm.
And I was doing research into the cliche people say is classical music is in decline. Now, it isn't. You go to the Festival Hall, it's packed out. You go to the Barbican, it's packed out. And a lot of young people in the audiences, I observe, look at the Proms every year. So there is an enormous audience among young people for classical music.
Yeah.
But what they do want, what I understand, is fresh approaches. So, for example, if you go to the festival, they say, wear what you like. Well, I guess people would always do that, but many people may think, well, classical music is very stiff. People go in suits. People on the platform wear 19th century tails and the rest. It's not like that at all.
No.
I mean, I saw Simon Rattle conduct in the Festival Hall.
Yeah.
Actually, it was Porgy and Bess by George Gershwin, who's a classical composer, but also wrote popular musicals.
Indeed.
fantastic. And it was packed out, and a friend of mine was in the orchestra, and Rattle came on, and he wasn't wearing a formal outfit. He had what looked like a sort of red smock on. And I mean, it was, and the evening was a riot.
It's about the right,
evening,
I think.
Yeah, the evening was a riot.
Yeah, that's great. Now, I've got to ask you, because you say you have a whole season of concerts that you're putting on.
Yeah.
But you also have people working behind the scenes as well, don't you, who are predominantly volunteers, I do believe. Is that correct?
It's completely. It's entirely volunteer run, not for profit. So that's the spirit of it. And it always has been. It always has been. And well, what it means...
I was going to say, I know that I knew that some of were volunteers. I wasn't aware that you were all volunteers. But one such volunteer is somebody who's come to you fairly recently, who's sitting right beside you right now.
Oh, yes. Well,
Anna McKinney is a volunteer.
Well, yes,
apparently
she's
also a musician as well.
Well, she'll tell you herself, which is a great... I can tell you she's a great go-getter because you know, Tony, that she arranged this interview.
Anna,
yeah,
hello, how are you?
Yes, good, thank you.
What made you look for a music society rather than going out and, well, tramping the boards, so to speak, because I know you play a musical instrument as well.
Yes, I learnt the flute from about 11, but that's been a little while since that happened, but I've recently come back to it. Decided that music is something that I really wanted, that I'm really interested in. I love pop music. I love things that I can sing to. So that's why I always have a music station that I can sing to on my on my car radio. But yeah. I also have classical music because it depends what mood you're in as to what you want to listen to.
Oh, very much so.
You know, sometimes I'm kind of feeling a bit down, then I'd rather be singing. And other times I want some calm or something interesting to listen to, then I'll go to a classic music station. So
you've joined
a
music society. You've joined a music society as a volunteer. Does that involve playing the musical instrument, or is it about organisation of others playing the music?
Yeah, no, it's all about organisation. So, I mean, the nice thing about it is that we can, you sort of, when you join as a volunteer, you sort of find your own place, really. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested in, I feel very strongly that the Music Society is a great fun organisation to be a part of. And you need the audience to be able to keep going. So I like to get involved in the marketing, and as you are aware, I recently decided that radio stations are a good might
you
be a good
knocking
way
on our door.
I came knocking on your door. Yes.
You did indeed.
So but you know, it's the Music Society is absolutely brilliant, and what I really like about it is when you go to the concert, something I wasn't expecting is that they're, as Nigel said, there's sort of like little chamber concerts or recitals, in that you get an interaction between the artists who's playing. Sometimes, you know, they'll introduce their own pieces perhaps, and sometimes they'll tell you a little bit about them, and it's just a really relaxed, nice atmosphere. And I think that young people will enjoy that, because they don't like, as Nigel was saying, you don't like the formality necessarily, and it's fairly formal, but you get to hear them talk and they tell you a little bit about the music. That's great.
That's fabulous, because I'm sure you'll get to meet some fairly accomplished musicians. But for you personally, is this would this be a stepping stone on to actually getting to play a little more? You can be honest, it's all right. Nigel's got his ears closed. It's okay.
Nigel's not listening. That's no, it's not a stepping stone to playing more, but my more greater involvement in the music scene is just part of what I do. I mean, I've now started being part of flute choirs and an orchestra, and so yes, I'm getting much more involved playing as well. But this part is listening and trying to just get audiences to realise how brilliant the society is, and young people as well. I mean, the tickets are free.
That's fabulous, isn't it, really?
For them to kind of come along and see what it's all about.
Okay. So your hands are pretty full then with organising bits and pieces right now. So I have to ask the question then, when do you get to play the flute?
I get to play flute in the evenings when I practice.
That's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful, you know.
Yeah. 100 music groups. So.
Nigel was talking about when he was at school and learning to play an instrument. I remember being at school and learning to very badly play a violin and a recorder. So I loved music, and I still do, obviously. I'm really musically challenged when it comes to playing instruments. Can't you know, get the fingers in the right place. so I'm in awe of anybody who can actually play an instrument and do the things that you guys do. So yeah, it's a really, really good thing you guys are doing.
Good.
Yes. Nigel, back to you. Thank you for that, Anna. You got this concert coming up this weekend. And you're talking about sort of pianists with fast-moving fingers. Yeah. You have Charles Owen on your schedule for this Saturday, don't you?
Well, we do, and he's a quite remarkable pianist. I haven't myself heard him in the concert hall, but one of our committee has, and that's partly why we have him. But if you look at his reviews, I mean, they're at rave reviews. In a sense, he's at a different level from most pianists, according to the people who know about these things. And he's playing, I would say, accompanying, except he's not just an accompanist. I mean, he's a pianist in his own right. He's playing with Julian Bliss, who's a clarinetist. Now, we talk about young musicians. Julian Bliss was a child prodigy at the age of 4, and he was so advanced that he could become professional at the age of 12.
Wow.
So he's quite remarkable. And he, of course, since then, he's become very famous.
Child prodigy.
He played at, one of the Queen's Jubilees, for example, and so on, and in 2003. And I would invite any listener who wants to know how fast his fingers can move, on YouTube, if you type in Julian Bliss, Flight of the Bumblebee, there's a 60-second video of him playing it, and you will not believe what you see and hear.
I've got to look that up now, because I know the Flight of the Bumblebee is one of those. It's a very quick piece anyway, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I have to say, I didn't know it could go quite as fast, but it's breathtaking. He's coming to play a good range of music from French 20th century, going back to Clara Schumann, 19th century, and Brahms, and so on. So it's a very varied concert, and we think it's going to be actually great fun.
Now, are these two playing together, or are they playing separately?
They're playing together. All the clarinet pieces are with a piano alongside or accompaniment.
So it's just the two. There are no other musicians involved in this.
No, I think
that's phenomenal.
It is extraordinary. You know, you can fill an evening if they're good.
Yeah,
and
I've got that.
These people will hold the hall, there's no question about that. And after that, we've got another young, Julian Bliss is obviously more than 12 now, quite a lot more, but
he looks
we've got
it.
Some
his beard
quite,
gives him away, I think.
We've got a string quartet coming in February called the Cleo String Quartet.
Yeah.
And they were formed in only 2019. And they're four young, if I call them four young women, I don't know the exact ages, but if you see the photographs, you know, they've got many years ahead of them, and they are stars already. They're quite remarkable, and they've played all over many of the big venues. And they played the Edinburgh International Festival, Wigmore Hall in London. They've made recordings, which is all remarkable for a group that's young. They're playing Elgar and Mendelssohn, so one an English composer, one very easy to listen to European composer. And we're looking forward to that very much. And then another one after that is a man called Timothy Ridout, with a pianist.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting about him, that he was one of the young artists who were identified by a music support organisation called YCAT.
Yeah.
Younger Chamber Artist Trust. And he was one of their stars, and we have links with YCAT. He's gone on. He plays the viola, which was Mozart's actually favourite instrument. Mm-hmm. He wrote quite a lot for it.
Okay.
But if you look at the reviews of him, one of them, the BBC Music magazine, said he's one of the 12 greatest violists of all time. So this is somebody quite phenomenal.
Yeah. Right. I've got to interrupt you there because we are running desperately short of time. I know you've got this event on this weekend. I'm going to ask Anna this one because she's the one who's been organising all this stuff. How do you get tickets for it?
The best thing to do is to go to the website, lms.org.uk. You can get them at the door, but I always think it's better to just go onto the website and just book it then.
Pre-book it. I know that Nigel is wanting bigger and better audiences.
Yes.
Well, the better bit is that I think the audiences are good already, but just need more. Just need a lot more. But would like a few more people in there. It's very, very encouraging to hear these sorts of events and. I think it's a wonderful thing you guys do to actually manage to get these things on and, keep the music lovers of the local area sort of entertained. Yeah. So I wish you well with this one. And the website, as you said, is olms.org.uk. You can get the full programme of the bits that Nigel was talking about, and you also get tickets for this coming Saturday's event, which is Julian Bliss Clarinet with Charles Owen on piano. And for now, guys, thank you so much for talking to us and come back and talk to a bit more, because there's a wealth of stuff that we can talk about. Thank you both very much.
Well, we will, Tony. Thanks so much for your time and interest. And thank you to all your listeners for staying with us as well.